Hi, it's Paul Slackers, Good News Plan. I'm speaking to Jeffrey Gitterman. Hey, Jeffrey, how are you?
I'm great. Great to talk to you, Paul.
Good. Your co-founder, partner, Gitterman, Gitterman Wealth Management. Congratulations. I know you've been doing a lot of good for a long time. It's a big pleasure to get to speak with you. How are things
been? Thank you. Thank you. Things have been great. You know, it's a weird position to be in, I think, because 5 years ago we really started focusing on climate risk and ESG and sustainable investing. And I think, you know, unfortunately, those problems are exacerbating quickly. So what's good for, you know, our business is not good for the planet. I wish we had been wrong about some of the things that we thought were coming down the pike. And unfortunately, we haven't been wrong, and things are getting worse. So trying to deal with that and getting the asset management and capital markets community to really start thinking more seriously about how to address climate risk and sustainable investing in general has been our big focus the last 5 years.
So ESG, environmental, social, and governance investing. So how would a company look at that, and how can they proceed?
So if you're an individual company, there are frameworks around what areas are covered by environmental, social, and governance. And there's an industry called SASB that kind of created what's called these materiality maps, which says not only what's important, but also what's important to stock price. So you don't just have people saying that this is my values position and you should agree with my values position. It's basically a really good track record on what issues have been material to stock price, what issues that people have started to say they'll vote with their money on. And those issues are, you know, broad, but basically in environmental, you have issues like, you know, water use and conservation and sustainable resources and pollution and toxins. And then in social issues, you have issues like workplace safety and diversity and social inequality. And with governance, you have issues like corporate and political contributions and executive comp and board diversity. So you have all of these issues, and companies now get rated by all different agencies. I think there's over 300 different rating agencies right now. So consumers, investors, asset managers can all start to see what a company's scoring is on how well they do on these issues compared to their peers.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. How about you personally? How did you get into this kind of work?
You know, I think a lot of it started back when we did that show at your studios in 2005 in December.
Oh, my God.
On spiritual capitalism with Howard Bloom and the producer guy that was there. I mean, a lot of it did start back then when I was looking at how you incorporate values. Some people say spiritual, but let's just say values into the business and workplace. And the more I went down that road, eventually in 2014, I helped make a movie called Planetary with Bill McKibben and Paul Hawken and a group of astronauts and indigenous elders about how we relate to each other and the planet in a more healthy way. And that really solidified the fact that I needed to move my business in that direction, and it couldn't just be a hobby anymore. And I'd written the book Beyond Success, Redefining the Meaning of Prosperity, which really came out of speaking at your event that you held at your studio. I just got a large number of requests to put that speech that I had made into some kind of written form, and that's what ultimately had become the book. So
you know,
thank you.
Lucky me. I did something good.
Yeah.
Because you did
Always. Something
good. Well, you know, I find it interesting because we just did an event over and did a show at the Greenwich Economic Forum, okay? And this Greenwich area is probably one of the wealthiest in for funds and monies. And one of the leading ones is a gentleman, Ray Dalio.
Yeah, I know.
And when I interviewed him first, it was at a Transcendental Meditation David Lynch event. And he was quite spiritual. And what is it about that you think, because you're a spiritual guy, I happen to know that, and what do you, tying that into, I mean, many would say, how does that fit into business? How does that kind of bigger picture make business succeed? What's your thinking there?
So I believe that meditation, any form, whether it's insight or transcendental or Zen, I think it gives you a broader view and a higher perspective. I don't even want to say higher, wider perspective of how things interact in the world. When you're really caught up in your everyday chattering mind and you don't get much of a break from that, it's hard to see past your own self-interest. And meditation allows you to broaden your view and incorporate others and bigger systems into that view. And when you do that, you start to see that business is way more interconnected with the world and all of the people that are in the world and all of the systems that make up the world than sometimes we see when we're just looking at the surface. So I haven't found anything in my 40 years of meditating that actually gives you a bigger view or a bigger sense of the interconnectedness of everything than meditation.
And you think it keeps you in the moment, Jeff?
You know, I think that our chattering mind keeps us out of the moment, and I think meditation brings us more in the moment, and when you're in the moment, you see more clearly, because when you're busy worrying about the future or regretting the past, you're not very present with what's actually happening in the moment. And when you're more present in the moment, you start to see the interconnectedness of everything. You see opportunities that you didn't see when you were too busy in your own head spinning. And it's just, you know, without even getting into the spiritual aspect of meditation, it just helps you grasp how interconnected things are and then make decisions from a bigger view.
In the book, The Little Prince by Antoine de Saint-Exupéry, it says, only with thy heart can I see rightly. Do you think it's internal, a lot of our ways of conducting our life?
You know, I think we're being driven externally most of the time, and then we're reacting and responding to external stimulus, and that's not a healthy way to live. And meditation brings us back to centering on coming from the heart, like you said, and not coming from the chattering, reactive mind. And I think when you do that, or you try to exercise that heart muscle, you tend to make better decisions and not make such reactive decisions. You know, I give this presentation all the time that what word can you make by scrambling the letters of the word listen, and you can make the word silent. And the whole, I think, idea of this, they call it the attention economy today, is that the people are starved for attention because everyone's so caught up in their own minds that no one really is paying attention to other people, and no one feels that. And I think when you meditate and you try to come more from the heart, then you have the ability to give people the attention that they're craving, and you make better connections, and that helps inform business and life in general.
You're a good listener as well, right?
I try. There's a great line in Pulp Fiction, do you remember this, where Uma Thurman asked John Travolta if he listens or just waits to talk, and he says, to be honest, I wait to talk, but I'm trying real hard just to listen. And I think it's a big problem in today's society that we're all just waiting to talk.
I'm going to interview Robert Thurman. I know you've been involved with the Tibet House.
Yep.
There's an event happening up in Saugerties on actually December 10th or 11th or so, for environmental concerns that are happening up in that area, and they're going to have having a large event there. You've been involved with the Tibet House. You're also a highly awarded guy, Thought Leader of the Year by WealthManagement.com. You've been in Money Magazine, Barron's, Morningstar, Wall Street Journal, CNN, Affluent Magazine. You know, he's well-respected, and you're doing an upcoming event on December 10th in the United Nations, and you've done that before. What is that event?
So we're trying to educate wealth advisors in this country, and there's about 250,000 of them, last I checked, on how important sustainable investing and caring for the environment through the investments that we make is to the future of our planet. We think they're kind of the block between getting real capital and assets moving, because a lot of the large asset management firms, especially the European ones, are coming to the market with new and innovative products that really do come from a more sustainable view. And all the surveys that are being done say more and more investors and clients are interested in sustainable investing, but advisors are kind of slow to coming to the market. So our event at the UN is to really educate advisors in the marketplace on what is going on and how to move our industry forward to make more intelligent decisions around how we deal with social issues and environmental issues.
Oh, boy. Good stuff. No doubt about it. Now, in addition to all the business side, the social side, you're a do-gooder. You're on the board of directors of the Child Health Institute in New Jersey at Rutgers, Robert Wood Johnson Medical. You dedicate much of your time to raising funds and awareness for the autism community. Where do you get all this energy?
You know, I believe, and I really do believe this, that the more you still your mind, the more energy you have to do things out in the world. I think it's a direct correlation. I think the more you're absorbed in mental chatter, it burns a lot of energy, and the less energy you have available to actually do things in the world. I don't advocate meditation even from like this idea of like enlightenment or some spiritual goal. I think meditation is the single most important thing that you can do to still your mind, reduce stress, and be more productive in the world and be a better listener. I think it covers all of those issues, and I do credit that for any good ability that I have to be productive in the world.
Good man, Jeff. Let me ask you one last question. As you know, we're very involved with the International Day of Peace, World Peace Day, as well as some other United Nations, World Water Day, and so on and so forth. And with regard to the peace, I've asked many people, what does peace mean to them? So I'd like to ask you as well, Jeffrey Gitterman, what is peace for you?
To me, peace means a still mind. Because without that, we can't interact from a place of peace with others. So the only thing that I can do in the world, I can't influence another human being, but if I can still my mind and be a clear reflection for the next person I meet and not instigate or cause harm or friction, then I can do my part. So to me, peace is a still mind.
You're calming just to talk to, I'll tell you that, Jeffrey.
It's the monotone voice. It's why I don't do audio books. I put people to sleep on the road and kill them.
No, hopefully not. But what it also does is it gives you it calms your blood pressure by speaking with you. You're comfortable and you can focus on what you have to say. Keep it up. You're doing a great thing, and I know you a long time, and you continue to, and you have such great respect from the world around you. I happen to know that for a fact. So thanks, Jeffrey, and we'll see you on the 10th in the United Nations, and continue with all the important work that you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.